Empowerment Through Knowledge Publishing and Serena Stone present The Tequila Drinker's Guide to Health and Wellness Radio Hour with your host, author, and medical Qigong educator, Serena Stone. Featuring the director of the Universal Healing Tao and author of dozens of books on natural health and longevity, Tao Master Montauk Chia. This show is for all of us who work hard and play hard. Those of us who are willing to try new things to improve their life and those who will not tolerate victimization as an answer to health and wellness issues. Welcome back, listeners, to the second season of The Tequila Drinker's Guide to Health and Wellness. This is Episode 2, Medical Qigong and the Martial Arts. On today's episode, Serena interviews medical Qigong educator and White Tiger Qigong Schoolmaster instructor, Tevye Fung, about martial arts and its relationship to medical Qigong.
All right. Well, welcome back, guys. Master Chia is on tour and will be for the next couple of months. And we have a very special friend of his, an educator, the founder of White Tiger Qigong School, and a master in his own right. He's going to be with us for the next couple of months, three, four, I think. And we... Tevye Fung and I are going to demystify some of the things that we've heard about martial arts, Qigong, the body, just Chinese medicine in general. So we hope that you enjoy this, and then you can come on back in December, and Master Chia will join us again. So hello, Tevye.
Hello. Thanks for having me back.
All right. So a couple of weeks ago, we spoke about... We told our listeners that we were going to talk a little bit about the Chinese language and maybe how some misperceptions about being, you know, mystical, the martial arts being mystical and Qigong being mystical, how some of that could have come about through languaging. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then we also told our listeners that we would actually talk about martial arts, like the stuff we see in movies. Mm-hmm. So we only have 20 minutes, right? So I will try to ask some leading questions, and you are going to fill it in, okay? So the first thing I wanted to talk about is actually the languaging. It's one of the big issues that I have when I'm trying to communicate, you know, I'm as an educator, that, you know, well, what's the definition of Tao? What's the definition of this, that, and the other thing? These are Chinese words, gong. You know, qi, what are these definitions? And it's a challenge because what I'm given as an educator is a character. It is not an English word that's really concrete. I'm given this character. It's a concept, at least that's how I view it. And so when I'm trying to talk to people about this work, it all sounds like poetry and metaphor, and yet it seems like we don't hear the same answers from two different educators also. What did these group of characters mean? One person says this, another person says that. You speak fluent Chinese, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And so I think I would like to ask you, what the heck?
Well, the Chinese speak in a lot of metaphors. I remember one time I was with a Chinese man and I out to dinner. He was a friend, and I just happened to go to a cafe with a girl he liked, and he got really angry, but he didn't come to me in a direct way, and everything was roundabout. And I asked a girl who I knew, who knew him, I said, "Why do you think he's so angry, this guy named Zhang?" And she said, "Well, you're like the tiger who's taken its meat." And that's it. They speak in these like little stories or metaphors that relate to some animal or to relate to something. Like they have a saying, "Juni yi lu shun feng." That's like when you're going on a trip, sort of like saying like, "May the wind be at your back." You know, mm-hmm. like and we would just say, "Have a good trip."
Right. Yeah. Yeah, we don't speak that way anymore, do we?
They make everything sound so poetic and story-like, and So, but when we as Westerners, we take things very literally, and we have a very precise way of speaking and language. I remember when I first went to China and I couldn't speak any Chinese, I would have translators. I'd say, can you ask this man, for example, how did he do this? Or how, and then after about 10 minutes of them going back and forth, she answers me, oh, in one sentence. Oh, he opened the door and let out the bird. And,
yes,
and
of course.
And I said, what took you 10 minutes? I would get so frustrated. What took you so long to just tell me this one answer? Because the way they speak oftentimes goes in circles. They paint a story and they have to tell a story to get to the main point. We go directly at what we're trying to talk about. They always start from the story and go in a circle. So for me, at first, it drove me crazy. And then once I started speaking Chinese and understanding, I started to, at first, was very confused and then realized, wait, the way they have to communicate is to tell a story. And the final punchline will come at the end of the story.
Okay. All right, let me throw something at you. So you're just not going to get a straight answer. And folks, we just have to accept that. It's a different culture, and this is how they communicate. And frankly, it's kind of lovely, if you look at it that way. How are we supposed to figure out what they're talking about? They're talking about five elements in our body. Mm. They're talking about animals. They're talking about seasons, in our body. They're talking, mm-hmm. when we do liver, mm-hmm. there's all these animals and seasons and all this poetic stuff. Mm-hmm. Here's been this weird experience that I've had. And I've been in this a little over 20 years now. In the beginning, it's a metaphor. Okay. And then I let it go. In the end, I'm coming back to it. The relationships that they say are formed by the elements in particular, mm-hmm. okay, for me, because my medicine is pretty simple. That five-element medicine, in the end, it has actually turned out to be quite true. So how do we know the difference between this, what sounds like poetry, uh-huh. and medicine? Mm. That's a good one, don't you think?
That's a very good question.
I mean, I see it being demystified a little bit because, well, the liver actually does have a relationship with the heart. It stores and cleans blood. Uh-huh. Heart pumps blood. There actually is a relationship, but that is not how the Chinese say it. They fire and wood. Wood feeds fire. Liver, yes. Element, right? For you guys that don't know, in the liver you have an element of wood, and in the heart it's fire. And wood, of course, if you think about it, feeds fire. But then you start looking at the medicine of it. I mean, these guys were brilliant, whoever wrote this stuff.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That it's real. So when you teach, do you speak anatomy? Do you speak Chinese concept? Mm-hmm. Do you speak in metaphor?
When I teach, I'm teaching to a Western audience. And now actually, nowadays, modern Chinese are actually more Westernized. So they actually think more like a Westerner, actually.
Okay.
But so when I teach in a way that someone can really understand, and then I'll give the explanation of how the Chinese spoke about it metaphorically. So first I'll give the Western explanation, which will be a more specific and concrete, tangible example of how we can apply it. And then, so for example, let's give an example. We have the meridians.
No, I'm saying sit back. Okay. He gets really excited and he starts talking with his hands and he's moving around and the microphone doesn't move, okay?
So we have these meridians, and the way the Chinese would say it is, these are rivers and they're flowing and your organs are like the lakes and the oceans, okay?
It's lovely.
It sounds so beautiful, right? It's so poetic. But when we look at it from a concrete Western example, the meridians are essentially connective tissue lines that run through the body. And the organs are surrounded by what we call visceral fascia, which is they're encapsulated by this connective tissue that's connected to these connective tissue lines that run throughout your body. So when you pull on one part of your body, it's going to pull on that connective tissue line that runs through one part of your body to the other and can cause imbalances. So this is how I can explain to a Western audience. And then I go into about what is fascia, because to really know what is fascia, you have to really understand it. And this is an actual science. This is sports science. You know, fascia is now considered a modality of sports science because it's being used in sports for athletic performance and for health. For it's used by Rolfers now. And
you can't be in the you cannot be a practitioner of anything physical and not deal with fascia.
Exactly.
Period. It just it has to be acknowledged. It's like not acknowledging you have skin. I mean, you know, you have to acknowledge it.
And the thing that gets me is a lot of people say, oh, you know, Qigong is the internal exercises, and they say, oh, some Qigong is too physical and not internal. But I say, actually, if you really grasp the medical Qigong that I do or the White Tiger Qigong does, you can see it's actually just as deeply internal as it is on the external level. And how you give a prime example of that is we're trying to move the body and manipulate it all the way to the core so that I can squeeze out my organ with a movement, but I'm actually feeling into my body. So as opposed to, say, a standard modern exercise of jogging or something like that, you're not tapping into the inner feelings that you have. So this is really internal work, but it's on a physical level and an internal level. But for me, physical and internal are one and the same.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think our culture, maybe in our lifetimes, we'll see it. We'll begin to slowly figure out that the inside and the outside actually have a relationship.
Yeah.
You know, we're getting there. We're coming back to ourselves. All right, you started talking about movement. So we want to give our listeners what we promised a couple weeks ago. Let's transition now into that conversation about martial arts. Now, we have seen some stuff in our movies. The rumor mill would have it that Bruce Lee did his own stunts did his own stunts, and Jackie Chan to this day is still doing his own stuff. So that looks pretty mystical. Now, can you fly through the air? I've never seen you do that one.
No, I've never met anyone who could. And I've never met anyone who could push someone over without touching them.
Oh, hey, I've never heard someone say that before. Okay.
Because, you know, you hear of all these stories. Oh, there's this master. He can make you, you know, push you. Doesn't even touch you and you go flying like 10 feet. I hear all these stories and I always say to people, have you seen it yourself? No, but I heard about it, but I saw it on YouTube.
Yeah.
So I actually never met these kinds of masters, but I will tell you, I was a fan of Bruce Lee since I was a seven-year-old child. My mother every day played Bruce Lee movies for me. And as I got older, I wanted to understand how is this man able to generate, what do they call it? I can't remember, the 400-pound or 200-pound two-inch punch. I think it was a 400 or 500-pound two-inch punch. He could apply 400 to 500 pounds of pressure within 2 inches of movement. Okay, so I wanted to know how the heck does this guy do it? So I searched far and wide. I trained with all these different masters to train martial arts. And I was very fascinated by the striking ability that he had. And I came across this one master. He taught me to make my body like a whip. Okay? And with this whip, I could generate significant amount of damage on, say, an opponent or whatever I was going to hit. And it seemed so mystical when I met him. When I heard him strike, you could hear his body snapping like a rubber band, like a giant rubber band. It would just snap, pow. And I was blown away. And to me, it seemed magical. He kept saying it's not magic. It's not mystical. It's just a lot of practice the right way. And he says, if you want to do this, you have to develop what we call the kung fu body. Okay? What does that mean? Well, I had to do these exercises to change the structure of my body and change the elasticity of my body. So these masters who can generate this significant amount of power, they've created a highly elastic muscle fascia system. Now, I explained before to you in another time that we chatted here for the show, I explained to you about what fascia is, so I won't go into that now, but they created this highly elastic fascial system within their body, and that comes through doing very dynamic movements repetitively for years. So I did a 4-year training every other day doing 200 repetitions of similar movements for 4 years. Now, after I did
Excuse me, wait a minute. I have to ask, was that boring?
I because I was raised like a, I have to tell you, my father raised me like a samurai. Every day he made me get up. I'd have to make my bed. If I didn't make my bed, he scolded me. If I didn't do my meditation, he scolded me. Okay. If I didn't do my practice, he scolded me, so, until it was ingrained into me. So for me, it's just when I do something, I go out and I do it. I don't question it. I don't complain about it. I just go.
Do it.
I just go and do it. That's it. And
okay. So you committed to being like Bruce Lee, and you met a master you could study with.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened?
Well, after the first 2 years, my master said, oh, looking more natural now, you know. He would never give me a compliment. His greatest compliment is, yes, not bad. Maybe okay now. Yeah. That was when you knew you were doing good.
Okay.
So after 2 years, he said, yeah, I'm looking more natural now. But after 4 years that completed the training, I really grasped what had happened. I had changed my physical structure anatomically, elastic-wise. I had created this extremely elastic body that could snap. And I knew how to align my structure, my skeletal structure, in a way that would be able to leverage its force and leverage the use of the ground, of pushing off the ground. And the Chinese would call this earth power or earth qi. But yeah, it's you're just pushing off the ground and aligning your skeletal structure perfectly and precisely.
Okay.
Because you've done that for so many years, you've figured out how to do it for so many repetitions.
So then it becomes natural.
Natural.
Okay.
And now I make this sound with my body. I did it for Jose.
Yeah, I
before.
Saw you. We recorded the sound. Well, I'm not sure where you're going to find this just yet, but we actually got the sound. Well, how would you say that? The sound of qi coming off your hands?
Well,
or
they call this fa jing, or in Chinese, which is they call, you know, this is like the explosion of qi from the body. But really, it's not mystical. It's that I figured out how to make my body like a whip. So it snaps just like a whip. So it sounds like a whip. When
sure.
you snap a whip, you can hear a sound.
For sure.
I'm snap my body just like a whip.
And we actually had him snap his hands at a microphone, and it's out there somewhere. We got to.
You could play it next time, or when Jose can get us the recording, you can play it for these guys.
That's going to be totally worth hearing. So, okay. So some of what we're seeing in martial arts, that we think is mystical, is just the human potential. Some of it could be movie magic, because you've never seen anybody fly. You've never seen anybody push just with their chi alone, push people over.
Right.
So it's just like all things Chinese. It's kind of a combination of everything. I mean, some of it's real, some of it's not. Hollywood takes real stuff and embellishes and makes it entertaining. But the truth is that those who choose to study the physical martial arts, you could appear to be mystical too.
Absolutely. But it's just the right practice.
Yeah.
And doing a lot of repetitions, a lot. No joke.
Well, we can give ourselves years, right? We learn with maybe come and study with a guy like you. And, you know, you give us some things to do and we go out and do it.
Yeah.
And then we're ready in 8 months, 10 months, 1 year, whatever, go back and take another course and learn more.
Yes.
And it's, you said it, and I agree a lot. This Qigong is really about living into the human potential.
Yes.
I think we're capable of a lot more when we're not out of alignment, ill, and focusing on stupid stuff that isn't going to help us feel good over the long haul.
Yeah. How much time do people spend on Facebook a day? What's the, there's some statistic that many people who are avid Facebook users spend a significant amount of their day on Facebook looking at other people's lives.
Okay. that's kind of heavy.
No, my point is that this is the
time.
Gee,
I don't emulate that remark at all.
I mean, I can't deny that I'm not on Facebook and and I don't enjoy it. But if you reduce that time to practice, how much more time could you spend on developing yourself?
Right. Now, folks, I want to mention, because I know this for a fact. Yeah, if you did give more of that time that we spend playing video games, sitting around watching movies, being on Facebook, to something that was good for us, it would make a difference. And what I want to throw out is that we're not saying you have to go to a dojo to do it.
No.
You know, these are things that we could be doing instead of sitting on our butt. And I think maybe this could transition. We can't do it this show, but we can do it in a couple weeks. I also want to talk to folks about this phenomena of how tired we are at the end of the day mm-hmm. and how we don't want to go home and do practice. I mean, it's about the last thing on our mind. We want to comfort eat mm-hmm. and sit in front of a TV and soak our brain and not think about what just happened today. Let's get into that conversation, because I would never want you guys out there, our listeners, to think that Tevye or any of the other folks you've heard on Master Chia's podcast are somehow were born, you know, superhuman.
No.
We just manage to discipline ourselves a tiny little bit until we enjoy our practice. We enjoy the cravings also aren't there like they used to be. Cravings for bad behavior, I mean, things that would hurt us. And let's face it, people like you and I do have a more even keel of energy. We still age, we're still human, we still party on occasion, but we do on a day-to-day basis, we can call to us that even keel that of energy.
To me, it's all about habit and developing the right habits. There's a good book called The Power of Habit, which anyone can grab. And basically, like, if I eat chocolate every day at 3:30 p.m., I'm going to develop a habit. And at 3:30 p.m., if I don't have chocolate, I'm going to start craving chocolate because I've developed this habit. Now, if you've spent years of your life, you know, going home and you're not doing any exercise after work, you're going to have that habit.
All right. All right, folks, did it get you interested? Because that's what we're going to talk about on the next show. But and again, because we're here to demystify all this stuff, you might have a story that, yeah, I have a habit and that's what I do and that's it. I have no energy to do anything else when I get home. We're going to talk about that next week. And I guarantee you, by the time Tevye and I are done hanging out, you're going to see that just by doing a few small things over the course of time, you can change your habits and look in the mirror one day and say, you know what? I'm totally different. Wouldn't you agree?
Totally.
All right. So come on back in a couple of weeks. I kind of cut Tevye off because I could see where he was going with that, but I'm excited. We're gonna see you guys in a couple of weeks, and y'all take care. See you soon.
Bye-bye. Bye guys.
Thank you for joining us on another Empowerment Through Knowledge adventure. Want to learn more? Find Master Chia at montaukchia.com. That's MANTAKCHIA.com. Find advanced learning materials, books, and more at serenastone.com. That's SARINASTONE.com. Thanks for listening, and if you like what you heard, please subscribe today. This podcast was produced by J.C. Warfield Productions in conjunction with the Echo Chamber Studio, Minneapolis, Minnesota.